Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. This would be another occasion when I could have just played the things that were said at the men's meeting and we could just go home. It was a wonderful time of sharing, and I'm so thankful that God has revealed himself to so many. And we have different ways of it, different venues for expressing these things, and I just thank God for it all. I don't know if I'm going to say anything different than what was said this morning or anything different than what we've heard, but I just feel like the Lord wants to wake us up and move us along in ways that we haven't been moving. I believe he's doing it, don't you? Isn't there a sense of a stirring that God is bringing about? I need it. And he has had ways of reminding me. Anybody else this week that, yeah, you've had this sense. There are things that God wants me to take hold of. And I just had that thought all week. It was expressed in so many words this morning. We heard a wonderful message last week about reaching for the impossible. And of course, actually in that story, the guy didn't just reach, he grabbed hold of something. But I feel like that's what the Lord has emphasized in my own mind this week. How easy is it for us to know all about truth? We know the scriptures, we know what it's about, we know what Jesus did for us, and yet somehow we get stuck in a certain place. And instead of taking a journey and moving forward, we're just kind of in the same place. You know, it kind of reminds me of that old movie Castaway. You remember the guy who was stuck on an island for several years? And then talking about it later and how hard it was, he said, I just can't realize I just had to keep breathing. Keep breathing. Well, the Christian life is more than just keep breathing. God has a reason, he has a purpose why we're here. And again, I'm not going to say anything we haven't heard, but I sense a need for it to get a hold of it in a way that perhaps I haven't. And I don't think I'm the only one. Do you think the Lord wants to be more real in our midst? Do you think he wants to do the things that we read about in here? Or are we just going to say, praise God for what he's doing over there. I want him to do stuff here. I need him to do stuff in me. And I want to see God stretch forth his hand. I'm not looking for signs and wonders particularly, but I want him to do whatever needs doing in lives. Do we not need to see changed lives in our own midst? Will we see a clear testimony of somebody that something is totally humanly impossible, but yet we see God do it? Praise God. Well, we need to use Scripture, don't we? And I thought about Paul's first letter to Timothy. And he's giving Timothy a lot of instructions. He's left him in the city of Ephesus. So this was not just a local elder. This was a young man, relatively young man, compared to Paul. But he was there to really kind of help the people, teach them, set things in order, correct things that needed correcting. So he was a leader, even though he was young. He was still a leader. So Paul was telling him all about what to do, and then he begins to give him some personal instruction toward the end. Because it isn't just a matter of knowing what to do, is it? I think we realize that. If all you do is really learn how to do it, and then you just do it, that's just religion. We don't need religion. We need Jesus here in the midst. I'm glad he's on a throne. I'm glad for everything he's done, but we need him here today to absolutely interact with our lives and make changes, real changes. And he's more than willing to do that. So anyway, Paul in chapter 6 is kind of encouraging him about, you know, warning of false teachers and those who were more attached to their desire for money. But then he says this, verse 11, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Interesting that he would just say pursue it. Well, I thought, we have it. All we have to do is just flip a spiritual switch and say, thank you, Jesus, for everything. So it's not quite that way, is it? Pursue. There's stuff, there are qualities that I need in my life, because I wasn't born like the children of God. I mean, I wasn't born to be a citizen of heaven's kingdom in my own natural strength, in my own natural character. I need changing. We all need changing. We were born sinners. Every natural inclination of us is attached to self and this world. And we need change. Okay? All right? So he's encouraged to not just deal with the issues of the church, but I want you to be the kind of person God called you to be. And I have a feeling with all my heart, I think many of you would agree, the first thing is not, what can we do? The first need is, what can God do in me to fix me, to change me, so I can actually be a fit vessel? Because that's what Paul was dealing with here. It's not just, here's what I want you to do. It's, here's the kind of person you need to be in order to do that stuff. And I believe with all my heart, God wants us to pursue. Okay? He uses another word, or another expression, another couple of expressions actually, fight. The good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now you get a picture of what the Christian life is about. Christian living is not just simply believing a set of doctrines, adopting a lifestyle, and participating in religious activities. It's life. It's a different life than the life with which I was born. And it sounds to me not like, okay, I get it and now I've got it. I need life today. I'm thankful for what God gave me yesterday. You know, to the degree that I looked to Him and asked Him to help me and to be with me and to change me, to help me to be the kind of person He wants me to be, that was wonderful. But that was yesterday. And do you see the sense that Paul is conveying? That it's not just enough to do the right stuff. I'm going to have to get resources to do the right stuff. How do we pursue righteousness? How does a minister pursue ministry? No one was any better acquainted with this reality than Paul. How many times does he talk about his own inability, the sense that he was with the people in fear and trembling? We don't picture Paul that way. We picture the mighty apostle. Well, when the might was there, where was the might coming from? Wasn't Paul, was it? He was the one who testified from experience, when I am weak, then am I strong. That's a hard one to wrap our minds around. When God wants us to realize we were not born with any ability that can help us when it comes to living for God. And that means every single day, every single moment, there needs to be, I'm not talking about some conscious activity necessarily, but I'm talking about everything we do, we need help from, we need an infusion of life from heaven, don't we? Because we sang some wonderful things. We could come together and sing all those same songs and just do it out of human energy, and what would happen? Nothing. It would be totally empty. I thank God for the degree to which God has blessed us with His presence. But I also have this deep sense that God wants to take us further. Because we don't want to just have a church that sits behind our walls and enjoys the presence of God and then goes on about our lives. God has a reason. We're here. There is a stirring in the land. And God wants a people He can use in this hour. I want to be one of them. I may be near the end of my journey, but I want to finish well. I want to see the Lord do what He wants to do in our midst. I'm not, you know, we've experienced this in the past, and I'm not trying to bring that back. I want what He wants for us now. We don't have to bring back the forms of the past or anything from the past except Him. We need Him in our midst. But here is Paul trying to help Timothy to be able to handle the job that God has given him. And the first thing he says is fight the good fight. Now, we have all kinds of ways of trying to attain something through effort. But this is not a fight of human energy or human, you know, let's get a committee, let's figure out how to make it happen. This is one where it needs to be faith. It needs to be faith. It needs to be this spiritual quality that I can only get from Him. I wasn't born with this. I need Him to come and live in me and actually believe to face things that stand in opposition to all that we're talking about. Timothy wasn't there just without opposition, was he? Anybody had any opposition this week? And the biggest opposition we have is what? The one we see when we look in the mirror. I need help every single day. But you know, I want to get past just saying, oh God, get me through the day without messing up too bad. I want to have a sense that God has a purpose beyond that. Because we are built into a community of faith. And God has charged us, whether we're up here or whatever, we are meant to help one another. I want to get past the point where I am so needy. Oh God, it's all about me. Help me get through the day. I want something where He can anoint me and live in me to the point where I have a control of this guy to the degree that I can actually help you a little bit. I believe God's helping us with that, don't you? But there's something, I mean, why would Paul tell him to fight? Why would he tell him to lay hold of eternal life? That sounds crazy. What do you mean, Timothy wasn't saved? He's telling him to lay hold of eternal life. Think about that. We have this idea of getting saved and then just, you know, like I often say, stick the ticket in the back, ticket to heaven in your back pocket and live your life. But salvation is a constant. I need a source of life that only comes from heaven. I need the life of Christ. I need it tomorrow. I need it the next day. I need it the day after that. This isn't just a Sunday kind of thing. I need Him every single day. And that's what Paul is seeking to convey, because the reality is we cannot live this life in our inhuman energy. I don't care how much you know of the Scripture. And the sense that I've had is, I wonder how much we have just relied on the fact that we know the Scriptures. We can say what's right. We know what's right. But I find myself in a position many times where I know all about the Scriptures, and I'm sort of almost satisfied with that. You ever been in that place?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.